brothers and sisters in Christ, our text today in the gospel reading is actually, like I said, the last week of Jesus' life. And the people are celebrating it because Advent means coming. And if you actually read the Old Testament prophecies, you'll notice that the first coming and the second coming a lot of times are kind of co-mingled. You have to figure out which is the first and second coming. So the same thing is true with Advent. In Advent, we're talking about the coming of the Lord. Now, we're preparing for the coming as in the celebration of his birth, but we also know that Jesus is going to come again to judge the quick and the dead. So when Jesus is parading through the streets, and he's doing so on this little foal, which means I am a different kind of king, he is doing that so on purpose, and he's proclaiming the Messiah. But the people ask an important question. Who is this? And that's an important question for all of us. Remember, Jesus also echoed this. He said, who do you say that I am? Because what you believe, teach, and confess is very important to God. If you don't believe that, read what the letters to the seven churches of Revelation. God says what you believe, teach, and confess is of utmost importance because God does not want to tolerate false teaching. You probably don't know this, but there was a group called the Ebionites, and they were Christian, quote, but they didn't believe Jesus was God. And they wrote the first part of the Quran, who denies Jesus is God, and who is now persecuting the Church of God. That's why we can't tolerate false doctrine. But see, the new church begins, right? And the church year begins now. Advent 1 is the first day of the church year. And the church year is all to be focused on Jesus and God's work through us. And actually, if you follow the pericope, in 1 year, if you come every Sunday, you'll get every major Christian doctrine in 1 year. But during this new year, our minds are fixed on the celebration of Christmas, the advent of our God. And so we are busy with shopping, you know, ordering stuff maybe online, maybe going to the stores, going to Christmas parties. How many Christmas parties are some of you going to? Don't know. You know, 1 year I had 5. I thought that was too much, by the way. And by the way, we do have a Christmas party coming up, and I urge you, come. But we do get all involved in all this other stuff, family things, everything else, that we forget why we're actually celebrating Christmas. So we have to ask, who is this? Who is this Jesus, this Messiah, this man coming to be your king? See, he deliberately is fulfilling prophecy from Zechariah by riding in on that colt. Now, it's interesting because this is the year, what? Anybody? What year is it?
2025.
2025 what?
AD after.
Yeah, I can never say that word. Domini. Anyway, it's the year of our Lord. And BC, before Christ. All right? So all of history is recorded and around Jesus Christ, and that's true for us too. But see, in this history of time, we see so many prophecies of Christ, and today we look at the Zechariah's prophecy, which is now fulfilled. He says in Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey. The colt, the foal of a donkey. And Matthew explicitly states in verse 4 to 5, that this was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to Zion, behold, your king is coming to you. In other words, Jesus is fulfilling that prophecy. And Jesus, I point out to you, normally walked the day he rides. I am the promised king. And you see, God always keeps his promises. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, it says, for all the promises of God find their yes in him, in Jesus. But Jesus is a different type of king. You don't believe that? What do kings do? They take your money, and hopefully they use a little bit of it to defend you, to build infrastructure, things like this. Right? But we also know what kings do. They take your money, and they live lavish lifestyles when they're supposed to be serving you, and they actually start believing that you serve them. You don't believe me? Try not paying your taxes. even in our system of government, the government rules, if you don't follow them, they'll come after you. That's terrible. That's what kings do. But Jesus is not that way. He's humble, mounted on a donkey, a colt full of donkeys. His kingdom is not of this world. That's what Jesus said to Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. He said, if my kingdom was of this world, then my people would fight. Right? So Jesus comes not of this world, but he comes as a servant of the world. So instead of taking from you your money, saying, I'm going to give to the poor, taking $10 from you, giving $1 to the poor, and keeping $9 for themselves, instead of doing that, God says, I don't want anything from you. I want to give you life, peace, health, happiness, salvation, because that's why Jesus came, save you from your sins. And so the Spirit rules through Jesus, the Spirit rules not by force, but by word and spirit. Psalm 110:3, your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments. Holy garments. Remember the story with the wedding that the king threw? The king says, here, come in, everybody, in wherever you are. And the king had garments prepared for them. But Jesus were clothed in robes and righteousness. There was one guy who came into the wedding feast, but he didn't put away that cloak. And so the king says, throw him out where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. In other words, you are called to wear the free garment, the robe of righteousness, to be clothed in Christ. If you believe in Christ, you have put on Christ, and therefore you are declared saints, holy before God, because he has clothed you with his righteousness. And so he enriches, God comes to enrich his subjects, not to tax him. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. He actually is the mightiest king. He owns everything. Jesus says, look, I'm just doing the will of the Father, but the Father has given all things to me. So Christ actually is the mightiest and richest of all kings. And if people think the foolishness of their foolishness is brilliant, they're so wrong. Now, God can't be foolish, but 1 Corinthians 1:25 says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. In other words, if God could be foolish, his foolishness would still far outstrip the greatest, wisest man on earth. If he could be weak, even his weakness would be greater than any man. This is how great God Jesus is. This man is the Son of David, coming in the name of the Lord. And we say, Hosanna, the Son of David. Now, David was promised the Messiah would come through his line. But, you know, the promise was that the Son of David would come and establish his throne for how long? How long was the Son of David? What, David? Then? Exactly. See, you were right. Speak up and we got the answer. Forever. So who could rule forever? Only God. So Jesus is God. So whatever we claim, Hosanna to the Son of David, this is a messianic, prophetic language saying God will rule us forever. And that's the crowd shouting. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In 2 Samuel it says, when your days are fulfilled, I will raise up your offspring after you, and I will establish the throne of this kingdom forever. Jesus fulfills his promises. And you know what? This is, they raised David up as king. God's offspring has brought Israel to a king that will last forever, just as he promised. God always keeps his promises. Always keeps his promises. Now when we say Hosanna, that actually is from two words, from the Aramaic. And it means, save us, we pray. Hosanna, save us, we pray. When you say Hosanna, you're saying, save us, we pray. Why is that important? Because it also becomes a word of praise. Hosanna. And you know what? You get to sing that quite often, right? Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Let me sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Remember singing that for communion? Sing it a lot, right? So guess what? You are actually joining with the prophet Jeremiah. You are proclaiming prophecy of Jesus Christ. Now, I know a lot of modern people say, oh, that's old, that's old. We want the new stuff, modern man. And yet, you are joining the words that God has given Zechariah, and God has given long ago, and you are joining the angels and archangels, all the hosts of heaven, and you are singing that and saying, God save us, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit moves us to sing that. And Psalm 18 ends with that. Save us, we pray, O Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Who is this Jesus?
The greatest man in history, Jesus, had no servants. Yet they called him master, had no degree, yet they called him teacher, had no medicines, yet they called him healer. He had no army, yet kings feared him. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the world. He did not live in a castle, yet they called him Lord. He ruled no nations, yet they called him king. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, yet he lives today. His kingdom is not of this world, yet it lies within the hearts of those who believe. He spoke of love and forgiveness, and his words have transformed millions. He offers no material wealth, yet we consider him the treasure of our lives. He promises no earthly power, yet in his name the powerless have found strength. Though he left no written words, his message has filled countless pages. In his weakness, we find our strength. In his suffering, our salvation. Jesus, the greatest man in history, continues to invite us into a story of redemption, love, and eternal life. His name is Jesus Christ. If you believe in this message, comment Amen and share it with someone you love.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The king, born in Bethlehem, humbly riding into Jerusalem, crucified outside the gate, risen and ascended, still comes to us today. Meekly in word, water, bread, and wine, to save, to rule, and to bless. Hosanna in the highest. Amen.